You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Shelley Blanton Stroud started writing fiction more than 10 years ago after her husband almost died in a scuba diving accident. That's absolutely a true story, and she has become quite disciplined since about her writing. She is also an English lecturer and professor, most often at Sacramento State. And work from a draft of her second novel is going to be featured this Friday at Stories on Stage Sacramento, which is kicking off its 10th season. Shelley's in the studio. Welcome. So glad to have you here on Insight.
So happy to be here, Beth.
I think we should begin with that story about your husband's near-death experience and how that translated into writing fiction.
Well, yes. It was about 12 years ago, and my husband and my two sons were in the Monterey Peninsula on a scuba diving trip. And I was just about ready to leave the house when the phone rang, and I picked it up. On the screen, it said, Monterey Ambulance. And my first thought was, which one is it? And when I answered the phone, my son Will's voice came on, and he said, everything's okay. We're going to the hospital. Dad's had heart failure. And of course, we then went through the days that you go through that everybody's so familiar with when something like that happens. He was fine, and he is fine. But that was sort of when and why I made the decision to start writing. Because after a moment like that, many people feel, as I did, that if there's something I want to do, I just better do it now. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to write.
In the bit of your work that I've read, you do carry that voice of something big can happen. There can be a dramatic moment, and it can change everything. And do you feel that internalized because of that accident, or is that a part of your personality?
There have been incidents in my own life that were big in that way and transformative. So, yes, I believe it personally. But, well, for instance, the short work that has just recently been anthologized by Baobab Press is the beginning of my novel that'll be coming out next year. And it's based on a family story of a terrible experience that my father had as a child. And so there are times when I've heard my father say, what you need to know about me was what happened to me that day. And I think maybe I inherited that, or at least learned it in family life, that there are big emotional family events that change your trajectory.
Let's move immediately to the story that's going to be featured this Friday then, because the title of it is Attention Must Be Paid. But you set it up almost the same way that you just described your dad. What's important to know about this tennis star is that she is the reigning, defending tennis star. And this is a very athletic, dramatic, fast read, short story, and it was one that actually didn't make the cut into a novel?
That's right. I wrote a novel, and I had to finish 300 pages of it to know what the novel was. And by reading through it and getting feedback from excellent readers, it became clear to me that just a portion of it was really the heart of the novel. So that's kind of like carving up a cadaver and saying, oh my gosh, now I've got to get rid of this arm and this leg and this scalp. Sorry to be so crude, but that's the way it almost feels. And yet I'm in love with so many of the characters and so many of the scenes that I didn't want to make them go away forever. And so right now those pieces are getting converted into stories that might live on their own, even if they don't live in the novel itself.
Let's talk about Bella Steinhardt then. I think I should just have you read the first paragraph of this short story. We'll spend a little time there. And again, Stories on Stage at the Clara Auditorium this Friday. Shelley Blanton Stroud is one of the featured writers. And this is a short bit from her story, Attention Must Be Paid.
If you want to know how Bella Steinhardt maybe the greatest female tennis player ever, according to Sports Illustrated, and the most Slavically beautiful, according to Rolling Stone, fell so hard from the peak, how she fought to climb back, and how her fight ruined everybody around her. If you want to know the true story, not just what you've seen on TMZ or 30 for 30 or read in the unauthorized biographies Love, Fault, Break, or Big Time Loser, then you have to begin with what happened last year on the second Saturday of July, the day Bella tempted fate and returned to Wimbledon as defending champion, the day she broke the internet.
And if you think we're going into a story about a tennis match, we're not. We're going to learn next about Rufus the Hawk, who is the celebrity predator at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. This story is actually about the fidgety things that people do when they prepare to enter into something adrenaline-forced and focused.
Yes, it's funny because, I mean, a lot of my friends find it very humorous that I'm writing about tennis. I am not a tennis player. I am not an athlete of any kind.
Are you a tennis watcher?
Scarcely that.
Wow.
I've read so many books about tennis. But the reason for it lies underneath. I was really entertained that you were talking about Ron Burkle this morning, because when my sons were young was when the Kings first became very interesting to our family. So everybody was talking about the Kings all the time. And I couldn't participate in those conversations in a normal sports lover's way. So to me, the way it became interesting was to think of them as characters. And one of the most interesting things to me were the ritualistic behaviors I saw on the court, to see Mike Bibby trimming his fingernails to the quick at every timeout, to see Doug Christie's bizarre series of behaviors before he would shoot a free throw. It really captivated me. And so then I began to wonder, what is that all about? Why do people at the peak of their prowess, who have such great talent and skill and really believe in themselves and their own power, why are they then ritualistic, superstitious? Why do they believe fate has some power over them? It also connected to my learning about the former star and famous person Chris Webber's famous timeout call, that something significant can happen in the life of a player that seems to define them for the rest of their life. And so that's what led me to look at these tics and superstitions and rituals and fate.
Were you able to stop the sports talk, the X's and O's at times, with these conversations and observances about the quirks that athletes had, or Kings players had?
I find it hard to find a partner in these conversations because when my family talks about sports, they do talk about X's and O's and boxing out and this and that and the other thing. And I try to learn a little bit about that. And certainly I have learned a lot about tennis I never thought I would. But it could never be the heart of the book for me, because really the thing I love about sport is the way it reveals human nature and story arcs in a very concrete way. I love ideas, and I believe that ideas are revealed best through concrete action and story. And so that's what story is to me. The biggest trouble I'm having right now is writing the tennis scenes. I'm sure that won't surprise you.
This story is part of a story anthology titled This Side of the Divide, Stories of the American West.
May I correct you there? I'm sorry. This is not the story that's in that anthology.
Okay. There is a different story. You have two different novels and an anthology.
I have two different novels, one that's coming out next year, one that I'm working on now, And in the anthology is the first chapter of the novel coming out next year.
Great. I also want to mention this Friday, Tom Barbash and his best-selling new novel, The Dakota Winters, will be featured as well. And I have been in communication for so long with Tom to get him to have a conversation about his book on the show. So that will happen in the future.
Yes, it's a fantastic novel.
Let's say something about Stories on Stage Sacramento, because the 10th season is a great time to jump in. Not everybody understands what happens with an author and actors in this setting.
Well, the way that they run it is that Sue Statz and before her Valerie Fioravanti choose an established, really kind of famous writer like Tom Barbash, and they couple that writer with a local writer. And generally try to sort of fit their stories together. And what happens is they then cast actors to read those stories. And it's just an incredible treat. There are enough people there to let you know it's got a buzz. And yet they're in the Clara Auditorium. It is intimate and warm and very literary in a local way. It's a fantastic series. So to achieve this 10th year is really something.
What are you working on next? What's dancing around in your mind to explore?
Well, the main thing is that I'm taking those 300 pages and putting them in a drawer and starting over again to renew it, to let it not be about every character in my mind, but to let it focus on Bella, the tennis player.
And the quirky thing that happens that changes everything at this tennis match is a rubber band in her hair breaking. It sets it all in motion. So it is a pleasure. Will you please come back as your work unfolds and unwraps? But enjoy this Friday night with everyone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Shelley Blanton Stroud and her novel Harvest of Invention will be in This Side of the Divide, Stories of the American West. That's an excerpt of it. We'll post a link so that you can walk your way through Shelley's work and her history. That is Shelley Blanton Stroud. She will be at Stories on Stage Sacramento this Friday at the Clara Auditorium. We'll post a link to that event and a link to find out more about her work. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today is Anthony Van Hook. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.